Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two, this is Sports Rage. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between. I'm Morenci. We're throwing it down in ultra-fast level one here this evening. George Kurtz kicked it with us. We talked about Major League Baseball. We've talked about the basketball tournament championship game. Heartbreak City for Sideline Cancer. And listen, anybody that's ever played sports before can understand. And it doesn't matter what level. Like, that's one thing. Like, you don't have to have been a minor leaguer or a professional player to understand heartbreak, right? Like, to understand heartbreak and pain of playing. Like, if you play competitive sports, you know, basically my childhood is like littered with like torturous memories, man. Like torturous memories of sports and losing. I also have a lot of great memories of winning as well, but it's funny how you remember the losses. And it's the same thing when you're a gambler. You remember the losses more than the wins. But I felt, man, I felt for Sideline Cancer, like right after the game. Like, the second the game was over, they didn't play around, man. All right? They boom, the game's over. Diener hits the three-point shot. They jump on him in the corner. And basically, what it, like, 2 seconds after that, it's like an explosion of confetti. And basically, the dudes on Sideline Cancer just collapse on the floor. Half of them are in tears. And, you know, they're crying. They're on the, they're lying face first on the court. And then We Are the Champions kicks in. And basically, I'm looking at the dude on Sideline Cancer. I can see him like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to break down any second. And he did. And he sort of collapses on the ground. He gets up. And the poor bastard, all the confetti and glitter are all stuck all over his arms and stuff. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, man. I was like, what a rough moment, man. Like, literally, like, 2 minutes ago, you were thinking we're about to win $1 million. And you know what? You came up empty, man. A couple of bad possessions. I still want to know why the hell you guys went for the two. Charlie Parker told them. All right? Charlie Parker told them. Don't force the bad shot. Take it to the rack. Nice sports range late night. And door range.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Concerned We were talking earlier about the New York Yankees and their fragility. Over under 37 and a half wins for the Bronx Bombers this year. Aaron Judge has tightness in his neck right now. Judge has had a hard time playing 162 games. Will he be able to play 60 games this year? We'll keep our eye on that. Story I want to get to as well as we bring Big Man on Campus in here is been so much talk about the NBA bubble, but the WNBA, they're in a bubble as well, and they're over at the IMG Academy in Brayton, Florida, and it's pretty much a train wreck and a disaster, and everything about the WNBA is being exposed right now. Like, it really is. Like, you know, the pay scale and the pay structure of the WNBA is pathetic, all right? The treatment of their players is pathetic. The accommodations are pathetic. The fact is, as well, Big Man on Campus steps up. And then, Big Man, you know that she was elected, bro. She was, like, appointed. And her husband runs, like, the New York Stock Exchange. You know the blonde chick? Her hair is, like, way too long. It's, like, awkward. Like, Kelly Loeffler. She's, like, a senator that, like, you know, just by coincidence traded all of her stock in all of retail and everything a day before the pandemic, like, really shut down. And she invested in, like, Zoom and everything else. Even though she's, like, in the real – she says that the virus isn't real. But in the real world, she invested after the inside meeting. So this woman – she's also pissed off that the WNBA players have Black Lives Matter statements. She's totally against it. So, like, she's racist. She's, she got away with, like, the insider trading stuff. There was an investigation, and, oh, she didn't do anything wrong after the fact. So, you know, and you look at the accommodations, they're being fed crap. There's, like, rats, and there's worms and cockroaches. There's all kinds of crap. And now the final straw, I see Elena Deladon, who's one of the best players in WNBA history. She's got Lyme disease. She's got Lyme disease. She's got, like, doctors telling her you can't play. And the WNBA have their own doctor, Dr. Nick Riviera from The Simpsons, who says, no, you can play. So they don't want to pay her. This is a garbage Bush league, man. Like, the NBA should be embarrassed, bro, about how they're running this thing. They really should be, Big Man.
Yeah, it seems like they threw it together pretty quick just to try to have some kind of season, and it's backfired. It's weird that it's backfired because, if I remember correctly, IMG Academy built a new dorm, a 250-room dorm, I believe, just a couple years ago. So, I mean, it must have gotten really beat up in a few years if it's those types of conditions. But, yeah, this is really whack by the WNBA. I mean, it just seems like a move to somehow not pay this woman. And from what I understand, I mean, she's one of the best players. I think she might be the best player in the league, which is wild. I actually remember watching her in high school. I went to a showcase for high schoolers, and I remember
she's from Delaware,
she was at a high school.
And,
she's from a high school in Delaware, which isn't far from me. And I mean, she was terrific back then. It seems like she's just as good now, and become one of the best players. But yeah, it's really Bush League. And I saw the Kelly Loeffler comments. I mean, look, you're not going to lie. I mean, I'm not surprised coming from her. I mean, she seems like, typical Republican nowadays. But yeah, the stock thing was horrific. This is even worse. I don't know why she cares so much, to be honest. But yeah, it
why
seems like a league that's really
team?
Just trying to.
Why is she on a part
well,
of the team?
Well, I think
now,
well,
like, the union's trying to push her out, right? The players basically said she's got to go. Like, I actually thought they might just say we're not playing as long as she owns part of the team. But yeah, this lady's really polarizing. It seems like Republicans don't even like her. She's about to lose to Doug Collins. Like, she's going to lose there.
I want to say her net worth is like $500 million, I believe. I mean, she's pretty rich.
Her husband is the head of the stock exchange, bro.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, but just because you have money, you can't just say what you want. I mean, we remember what happened with Donald Sterling and that mess. So, yeah, she's on her way out. She won't be an owner for much longer. She'll be forced out.
Why the hell are the WNBA even playing?
Like, you know what I mean?
No idea.
Like, what? And I don't say this disrespectfully. I like women's basketball. I bet it. I like it. I respect them. But really, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, why? Like, financially, you're not making any money. The WNBA doesn't make money. If it made money, you wouldn't stiff them as much as you do. So you're not. Why are you doing this? For what? Like I don't understand. Like, I get like being
I guess
the force of some leagues, big man. But like, for what? Like, why are they going through all of this so they can have a WNBA season? Like, I don't. Like, what's the point, big man? Like, honestly,
I guess
Paul Feinbaum can't even justify college football. Like, how the hell do you justify playing the WNBA now?
Yeah, I guess they just saw, you know, like, leagues like the MLS, and they thought, well, I mean, we kind of have a league that could be kind of on a similar level. I mean, maybe we can do it. You know, if they can do it, why can't we? But, I do kind of wonder about the location. Seems kind of an odd location. It's a great question. I have no idea. I guess they just thought it would be easy, and it really hasn't been easy. Now, some of the players, Sabrina Ionescu, she's mentioned, she obviously hasn't really been that bad for her. I mean, she's just out of college, so, you know, it's probably not that different from where she was. But even at Oregon, I mean, they had great facilities and that sort of thing. I don't really know why it's such a bad condition. You would think it'd be better. But, yeah, I don't know much about it. I was kind of wondering as to why they had to have it either. You could have just took this year off. I'm sure it wouldn't have been that bad.
They don't make a ton of money in the WNBA to begin with. A couple, you know, some of them make a couple of hundred thousand, but they all play, and a lot of them play in the Russian league, actually. There's like a Russian super women's league, and they pay like real money in that league. So that, like, that's the whole thing. Like, the WNBA is lucky that a lot of these women even play in the WNBA. Like, you know, Joanna Taurasi, and like look at Becky Hammond, one of the greatest players ever, big man. She played in Russia. Like, she made real money playing in Russia, and then she would play in the WNBA in the Russian offseason, right? Like, I get, like, it's all about what money comes in, but it just seems like it's a really, really poorly run league. Like, just every issue,
I mean,
just seems to get exposed.
It's really well said by you. Like, I never really thought about it. But, like, Gabe, do you know, like, the highest salary in the WNBA? You know what it is? It's wild compared to, like, the NBA. So the,
like,
so the NBA, the top player.
And Brittany Griner, my guess is, like, 200K, like, in that range, 240 or something.
Stephen Curry makes the most money in the NBA, $34 million a year. The top earner this coming year will be Dawana Bonner of Phoenix. She makes $127,500 a year.
Yeah.
The average salary is.
That's crazy. Like,
$100,000? I mean.
Yeah, even less.
Yeah, that's.
And, you know, that's the Russian teams pay like $3-4 million, though. And I don't know why. I've always wondered this, big man. I guess they're just like Russian cartels and like tycoons and stuff that they want their business like team to be good. I never understood it. I never understood
the thing
why.
Is,
like,
over
this,
there,
these Russians pay so much money for American women basketball players.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a men's league, but I remember, if you remember a couple of years ago, Marshall Henderson, he played for the Ole Miss, and he was kind of a wild player. But when he graduated Ole Miss, he went over and played in Iraq, and Vice followed him around, and he would talk about how over there they paid crazy amounts of money, and it would be to the point where they would literally come to the gym, these like oil tycoons with like briefcases of cash, and just hand them like cash for their salary like every month. And you know, some of those leagues over there, and like this league, it seems like it's the same thing with Russia, where they just, I don't know how they make the money, but they make it and they just dole it out to people. But yeah, some
this?
Of those leagues over there.
Diana Taurasi, bro. $1.5 million a year she makes in Russia. That's what she
That's
made
impressive.
Play now. Yeah. She made $111,000 in the WNBA.
Crack.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Philadelphia Phillies as well, as the world is on lockdown forever. And I know big man on campus is going to be extremely frustrated by this. Not so much just the fans, but I'm telling you what, big man, and I don't even want to get into it. We'll get into the soccer and we'll get into the basketball game tonight, but there's a lot of bad warning signs going on right now. And there's a lot of big spikes, but you know, like Qantas Airlines, one of the biggest airlines in the world, they basically announced they're shutting things down for the next year. You see now, you know, Philadelphia announcing no fans and like what, all the way to February or March. New York City has shut Broadway down through to the end of January already. Like they're thinking that far ahead. And I know nobody wants to hear this, but the experts are saying that this fall and winter is going to be the worst health situation in the history of the United States of America. That they're basically bracing for like hell is about to break loose between flu, influenza, and coronavirus. The exact words were, it's going to be the most challenging and worst health situation that America's ever dealt with in the fall and the winter time. Football, and I tell you, you know, what's the guy, Woody Page on ESPN? I saw one of his tweets tonight. He goes, I was just talking to a player who said that he's saying that the season's going to start in October only. And that's what I've been predicting the whole time, but what's the how are people taking it in Philly that they've already announced basically fans will not be allowed to go to the Eagles or the Phillies games, big man?
Well, they're not taking it good, and look, for good reason. I mean, Jim Kenney is out of his mind. I mean, he's making decisions that he has no idea what's going to happen in 2 months or 3 months. Listen, Gabe, I have to set the stage for you, okay? We have a mayor that people hate. I mean, he could be the most hated mayor in the history of this city, honestly. Like, he's – people hate him. South Philly, where I'm at and where I've lived, and they hate him. I mean, he hates the Mummers. He hates everybody connected with anything, you know, South Philly. And it's weird because he's from South Philly. But, look, I think people are kind of just at a point with him where he seems to allow certain things and has no problem – with certain things, and then he just kind of puts his beak in and just cancels stuff for no reason. And if you notice, he's the only city doing this on the East Coast. I mean, New York hasn't done this. New Jersey hasn't done this. You know, I mean, even Miami, I mean, they haven't even done anything like this, and they're the outbreak central right now. It's just kind of weird that he's making this decision for events 6-7 months down the road. But yeah, people aren't happy. I think a lot of people initially thought it didn't affect the Eagles or Phillies just because they kind of do their own thing, but it looks like it will affect it, and fans aren't happy about it. I don't know how you can make this decision so far ahead of time. And, you know, obviously you know this, a lot of people know this. We're not completely out of it around here, but, I mean, we have improved significantly in Pennsylvania and in these areas.
I tell you, I think I agree in the sense that it upsets people when you make decisions this far in advance, right? I totally understand that. We're in July right now. I think they have the best interest at heart. But at the same point in time, I don't think fans should go to games, personally, big man. I think you're begging for disaster, in which you have thousands of people gathering. And I think when you say, when we say we don't know what's going to happen in 2 months, I think we do know what's going to happen in 2 months. As I just stated, they're not wrong. Like, you know, people might not like the way that it was handled, but that we were warned. I knew this virus was coming, big man. I talked about it before, like Fauci did. You know what I mean? Like, we were warned. Like, I know everyone pretends like, oh, China kept it a secret. Well, it wasn't a secret. Like, you know, like, dude, you followed the Italian soccer league. It was shut down, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people just sort of thought, no, it can't happen here. So I'm just telling you, when people say, and I've heard other people say this, well, we don't know what's going to happen 2 months from now. Well, I don't know, dude. They're kind of telling us what's going to happen 2-3 months from now. And it's going to be hell on earth. That's what's going to happen 2-3 months from now.
Yeah, I think the growing thought is, well, you know, why is he the only one doing this? And you might be right, and you might be totally right. I don't know, but you know, look, at the end of the day, we've had plenty of time to prepare for this, and look, you know where I stand on this. We've completely botched this whole thing, and whatever. As far as fans being allowed, I think there was a sentiment that maybe at some point it could be, you know, if there's 40,000 fans in a stadium. Maybe we only have 5 or 10,000. I don't know. But at the end of the day, you're right. And this has been the only country that's messed it up this long. I just wonder why Kenny makes this decision when no one else has made this decision. It just seems kind of he seems to want to be shut down, and he seems fine with that.
Yeah, and especially like the NFL season. It would go all the way to January. So I totally agree. Like, you can't – I think the future is grim, but you can't tell people that. Like, you know what I mean, big man?
Gabe, when I tell you, they hate – the people that live in this city that follow politics hate this mayor, like hate him. I've never seen a mayor this hated in a city in my life, ever. I mean, there were some bad mayors in this town over the years. I mean, John Street was a mayor many years ago. I mean, this is a guy that was a corrupt mayor. I mean, we've had some bad politicians in this town, but, I mean, people hate this guy. I mean, viscerally hate him. Like, to the point where I've seen people say, like, bad things about him. So he's not helping his cause at all.
You know, one thing I'll say is, and listen, I like to go to games, but at the same point in time, I didn't go to one baseball game last year. I didn't go to one game.
Right.
I didn't go. I was in New York City. I didn't go to one. I was on the air all the time. I was in the Meadowlands, everything. I didn't go to one Yankee game last year. I didn't go to one Met game. I've been to Yankee games, but I didn't go to one baseball game last year. As far as the NFL was concerned, I went to one Giant game and I went to one Jet game last year. I went to an XFL. I went to Rutgers. You know, I mix it up a bit. I go to basketball more than anything. But I'm just stating. You know, with fans or no fans. So it's like, ooh, what? I don't go once a year right now? I just think bringing fans in is a recipe for disaster. I think it is. And you're going to see this moving forward. And, you know, it's just sad. It's just sad that here we are right now. And all that work was put in, sort of partial shutdowns and stuff. You know, big man, today, I don't know if you saw one of the tweets, I retweeted it. It was from the local newspaper in Houston. The obituary in the Houston Chronicle today, big man, 43 pages.
Yeah.
43 pages. So, like, people can say, oh,
yeah,
no,
it really doesn't need to be.
Like, it's like, wow, it's 43 pages of dead people. And it's not like Ocasio-Cortez runs Texas and there are a bunch of pink commies lying about everything. You know, you can say what you want. Like, people can say, and now that's the new thing. Oh, no, no, the COVID thing is down. It's not. They're not dying of COVID. They're dying of this. Well, I'll ask you, was there ever another time where there was 43 pages of dead people in the obituaries, people? No. So figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
I saw one of the doctors say, 6 weeks in America, if everybody in America, coast to coast, 6 weeks, everybody in America socially distanced, stayed in as much as possible, and wore a mask, the coronavirus would be crushed, big man. That's what
Gabe. Why not instead of that? Why didn't March 15th we shut this country down completely till April 1st? And I'm talking about completely. No airplanes, no traveling. You only leave your house if you need to go to the store. Nothing else. No random things open. No state by state thing. None of that. Complete shutdown. We completely shut it down for 2-3 weeks. We'd be out of this by now. We'd be enjoying our summer. We'd be getting ready for football, and we wouldn't be worrying about it. And we've bottled this, and we still are bottling it. It's still, we're pretending that it's not going on. I mean, what are we doing here? And you're right. Now we're at the point where all you need to do is just wear a mask when you go out of your house. It's not your freedom to just not wear a mask. It's just because you have freedom doesn't mean you just do whatever the hell you want to do. I mean, I don't know what needs to get through to some of these people. I really don't. I don't know how you can be that just closed-minded. Do I want to wear a mask?
Football.
No, but I do it.
Look at the guys.
Well,
dude,
they're going to lose it.
There was guys on the Tampa Bay Rays. It was unbelievable. Dude on the Tampa Bay Rays tweeted out. He goes, I'm not putting up with this. Basically, guy on the Rays is out of the store. He's wearing a mask. And somebody called him a pansy, but not a pansy, basically, for wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. And he said a couple of other Tampa Bay Ray players got accosted outside a store for wearing masks by people. And what are the Rays supposed to do? Start beating people up outside of a Walmart or a Costco? You know what I mean? And he basically said, guys, we're trying to play baseball. And I like what the guy said. He goes, maybe you don't have anything to lose in your life, but I do. And he said, put your damn mask on. He goes, you want us to play baseball? You guys won't even wear masks.
There should be a nationwide mandate. If you're caught in a public place without a mask, $1,000 fine right away. No warning, no nothing. We're done warning people. That's what the rule should be now.
It needs to be a social thing. Like
no,
in New York,
you need to be. You need to be fined for it.
If you don't, you know what I mean? People, like, kick you out themselves. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, as long as there's that sort of, like, not stigma that, you know what? Hey, I'm a loser if I'm not doing this. Right? Like, you're just exposing other people. It just shows the morality, the stupidity. All right, hang in here, big man. Let's get into some picks on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SportsGrid late night. I am Renzi. The countdown is on, and I'm not talking about the Seattle Sounders and the Chicago Fire. I want to set my TV on fire after watching the MLS all day. Brutal, man. Holy crap. But listen, if you bet on the overs and you bet on the draws today, of course, I took a draw in the nightcap, and the two games that I don't take the draw and, you know, ended a draw. It's the way that it works. So, yeah, we had three overs today in the MLS, three overs and two draws. That's big money. Three overs and two draws. You never know what you're going to get in the MLS. We have the Chicago Fire. Chicago Fire and the Seattle Sounders. They're the first ones up. They're the first ones up in the MLS. And, you know, at this point, like I said, I don't even know, like, God. This is a horrible day today. Basically, we're going to play these Korean baseball picks that Ricky Sanders gave us, and we're going to hope for the best. So the Chicago Fire, that's at 5:30 Eastern in the morning, 2:30 Pacific. And, you know, one thing with the MLS, listen, I get that it's hot in Orlando, but, like, really, do you have to play at 9 in the morning, man? Like, even 11 in the morning would be a difference, you know? Like, 8 a.m., it's 6 in the morning on the West Coast, guys. Like, it's 6 in the freaking morning. So the Seattle Sounders, and listen, the Seattle Sounders are a team that are actually from the West Coast. Although, you know, their body clock will be somewhat adjusted then now. You really don't, though. On your mind, you're always, I've been on the West Coast for over a month right now, and I still think about East Coast time often. So the Chicago Fire at +200. The draw is +250. The Seattle Sounders are +110. And the Sounders played the Earthquakes, and that game was a draw. They didn't look great. I give credit to the Earthquakes, though. The Earthquakes actually did look good. Our boy Kyle in Toronto, you know, we got a lot of soccer fans that call in the show and stuff with picks. You know, Kyle's got to shoot us a call. Kyle's all over. He's jumped on the bandwagon. He's a San Jose Earthquake guy now. Go Quakes. go Quakes. So Chicago played New England, of course, 1-1. And the Sounders are coming off a draw as well. You know, the Sounders should win the match, and I'm expecting that they play better, actually, after they have a game under their belt right now. All right, so we got some MLS action in the morning. I'll be looking at the under, even though we had three straight overs in the MLS. I think, you know, it's not going to – everyone's going to jump on the over now. Well, three straight overs is going to go under. And so we'll man, we're sweating a lot tonight. I think it's the MLS. The MLS has me sweating, man. Not even that hot, and I'm sweating. It's like, yeah, it's the MLS, I think. Man, I'm sweating like groundskeeper Willie under the lights. So Major League Baseball is on the way back. We'll recap our picks for the Korean League and the soccer and everything. Can't say sports aren't back, man. We're giving you picks for stuff at like 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. Yeah, so as I was saying, though, I don't like the crowd noise on FS1, and listen, I get it. Ooh, it's hot. You're all right. Whatever, man. It's hot. Whatever, dude. You guys are taking, like, water breaks all the time. It's annoying. And you got 5 substitutions you're allowed. You know, like, seriously, 9 in the morning, I get it that it's hot, but, well, you can't play at 11 in the morning, at least so it's 8 a.m. on the West Coast. Like, Seattle Sounder fans have to get up at 6 a.m. to watch this crap right now. And I know I got to watch this crap now because I got to get my money back on this crap. All right, so as far as baseball is concerned, though, as far as baseball is concerned, we were talking about the Red Sox 13 of the first 23 games were against the Rays or the Yankees. All right? The Baltimore Orioles, listen, the Orioles win total is like so low, and like you're wondering, all right, can the Orioles get on track and do anything and maybe surprise people? No. No, they can't. And, you know, can the Orioles win 22 games this year? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I want to believe and say, well, you know, it's not a lot of games. Can they surprise people? Probably not, no. Listen, their win total is 20.5, so they got to get to 21. They got to get to 21 wins. 21-39, and you win your bet. Thing is, 29, I don't know. I think they'll probably go like 19-41 or something like that. They're going to be right around the 20.5, but they won't get there. The problem for Baltimore is, number one, they suck. Number two is their schedule is a killer. They have to play the Rays all the time. They play the Yankees all the time. The Blue Jays might not be great, but the Blue Jays kick the crap out of the Baltimore Orioles. All right, they always have. Like the Blue Jays are like 26-4 or something like that. The last 30 times, like even more than that. Like I swear, we'll get the numbers. Like it's insane. Like the Blue Jays, it's free money when they play the Orioles. Listen to the Orioles. They go through one stretch. They play 15 straight games against the Rays, the Yankees, the Nationals, and the Phillies. What do you think they're going to go in that 15-game stretch? 3-12? 15 straight games against the Rays, Yankees, Nationals, and Phillies. And in another, they play 21 straight games against the Mets, Yankees, Braves, Rays, and Red Sox. The Baltimore Orioles might be lucky to win 16 games. Like, they honestly, I'm starting to think they probably will be like 15 and 45. 17 and 43. Think about that. 15 straight games against the Tampa Bay Rays, the New York Yankees, the Washington Nationals, and the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, honestly, out of those 15 games, what are they going to win? Like, best case scenario, they win 5 of them. Then they play 21 straight games against the Mets, Yankees, Braves, Rays, and Red Sox. Out of those 21, I think they win, what, 5? So that's 10 wins out of 36 games. Yeah, I don't, it's an incredibly low number at 20 and a half, but I don't have confidence in it. I know, and I like buying low. I like buying these stocks low, but I can't buy in here. I can't, like, it's not, especially when you look at his schedule, man. So we talked about San Diego, and I do buy into San Diego, guys. I think San Diego is a play-on team this year. I think San Diego, they have all the elements. They've got good pitching. They've got a decent bullpen. They've got like Manny Machado. They've got veteran stars. They've got a young superstar. There's a lot to like about this San Diego team, actually. And as the season approaches, I'm buying in more and more with San Diego. I'm buying more and more. The division is very manageable that they play in as well, besides the LA Dodgers. San Diego, to me, is going to be a play-on team, and their win total is 30.5, so it means they got to be a 500 team. They got to be 31-29, two games over 500 in a 60-game season. We can get into their playoff odds a little bit. We talked about their schedule. It's a manageable schedule, and they don't leave the state of California in September. They play 3 games against the Seattle Mariners. All right, so I think San Diego have an opportunity to make some noise. They did not expand the playoffs, though, guys, right? Remember, in the NFL, they expanded the playoffs. The NFL, they added another team. So we talk about NFL playoff props. Yeah, they got a chance. They add another slot, you know? Baseball, they didn't this year. Baseball, they didn't. So there's no free passes to get into the playoffs this year. It's not a 14-team playoff. It's not a 16-team playoff. There's no free passes. So it's not going to be easy for San Diego to make the playoffs. But I could live with betting their win total. And I'm just telling you, San Diego is going to be a play-on team for me this year. I'm going to have my eye on San Diego. We told you. They have a very favorable schedule. They have a chance to close strong. They have a bunch of young dudes. They should be all right from COVID. They don't have to travel around either and expose themselves to COVID. 20 of the 23 games in the state of California in the month of September. And if in case you're wondering what the odds are for San Diego to make the playoffs, San Diego to make the playoffs, plus 320. San Diego to make the playoffs, yes, plus 320. No, minus 430. San Diego to make the playoffs, yes, plus 320. The New York Mets, a team that we did very well with last year. You know, Pete Alonso was a great story. He's a great player. He's a great dude. He's an easy guy to like. And, you know, the Mets were struggling. It was around the trade deadline. People thought they were going to be sellers. They ended up bringing in Marcus Stroman. And they were just on fire, man. The Mets were on fire. They were such a profitable and a fun team to bet on. It's too bad they don't have Noah Syndergaard. But anybody that follows the Mets knows that the New York Mets, whatever can go wrong, sort of will. And remember I said earlier, since the Texas Rangers play in Texas, which is a cesspool of COVID, and then secondly, they travel 14,000 miles. They're going to expose themselves. If there's another team that I can say that somehow something weird will happen, it's going to be the Mets. The Mets will all go out to dinner somewhere in like Florida or something, and they're all going to get it. Like the Mets, I'm telling you, like I used to sort of think, nah. Like when I lived in New York, and anyone that liked the Mets would say, I don't get excited about anything the Mets do. They're like, the Mets will break your heart. I'm like, guys, they're doing great. They're doing great. Nah, they'll break your heart. All right, they'll break your heart. So listen, the Mets, I like the Mets. It's too bad they don't have Noah Syndergaard. I think the Mets, the fact that there's a designated hitter, it helps them. It's able to get, you get Cepeda into the lineup right now. The Mets are going to be competitive, but the problem is the Mets division is tough. Like, the Mets to me are like a 500 or a little bit better than a 500 team. You know what I mean? But is that enough to win? I don't know. And the problem with the Mets is too, the final 10 games of the season for them is not easy. It's the Braves, three against the Braves, three against the Rays, and four against the Nationals. So if you're the Mets, you better put yourself in a good position before you get into the final 10 games of the season. The Houston Astros. Listen, I think the Astros are going to be good. I hate them. They're cheating son of the bitches. But I think they're going to be good still. They have a chip on their shoulder. They still have devastatingly good pitching. They're still loaded, guys. So they lose Garrett Cole. It doesn't really matter. It matters a bit, but whatever. Like, seriously, if you look at their lineup with the garbage cans or not, plus, they're not soaring, right? And they're not going to have to face the wrath of any fans. So they're going to have a chip on their shoulder as well because they're going to want to prove that they're good, even though, you know, they're good without the garbage cans and all that and the cheating. But the Astros play 16 of their final 22 games on the road. You want to talk about teams that are screwed, the Angels, guys. 26 games against the Astros, A's, and Dodgers. That's 43% of their schedule. And the Atlanta Braves. The Braves play 14 of their 20 interleague games against the Yankees, the Rays, and the Red Sox, man. All right? That's not easy. 14 of their 20 league games against the Yankees, Rays, and the Red Sox. They also play 20 games in 20 days once.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Left, so let's get down to the picks. Ricky Sanders joined us earlier, and Ricky's one of the best in the business at breaking down the Korean league. Let's start off here. We're going to lay the run and a half. We're going to lay the run and a half with the KT Wiz. KT Wiz against the Hanwha Eagles. So KT Wiz minus a run and a half, minus 132. We're going to take the Lotte Giants and Dan Straley on the hill here. Minus 130 with the Lotte Giants against the LG Twins. So we're going to lay it up 130 with the Lotte Giants. The NC Dinos and the Kiwoom Heroes. We're going to take the Heroes here. Who wants to be a hero? So we're going to be a hero. So I want to be a hero. We're going to be Kiwoom Heroes tonight. Minus 128 with the Kiwoom Heroes against the NC Dinos. The Dinos have their worst pitcher on the hill here tonight. And a live underdog tonight. SK Wyvern up to plus 176 right now, actually, with SK Wyvern. So the plays of the night tonight, I guess if you're looking at a best bet, I would look at the KT Wiz laying a run and a half. Looks like they should be able to roll. Their offense has scored like five or more runs in five of their seven last games. So this KT Wiz offense has been rolling. So we're going to lay a run and a half at the KT Wiz. We'll take the Lotte Giants at minus 130. We'll take the Kiwoom Heroes at minus 128, and we'll take the SK Wyverns at plus 176. And I don't know why the hell I'm going to do this to myself, but give me the Seattle Sounders. Give me the Seattle Sounders in the morning to beat the Chicago Fire, and we'll go under 2.5. You know, listen, Seattle are very good defensively. This game, I think Seattle win like 2-0 or something like that, but I don't know, man. It's at 9 in the morning, right? You never freaking know with this stuff. tune in to Game Time Decisions. We're going to break down the basketball tournament. And I know how good this Marquette team is, but I just can't get on the side of the cancer right now. So, sideline cancer is for that, you're on your own.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.